Greetings, this January 12th, 2024. The time is 19:50 hours Eastern Standard Time, Ward Green with you again. Welcome, nice to see you. What am I going to say here? I want to brighten this up a little bit, if I can. That's a little better, I think. Okay. We're not going to do Revelation today because we have long readings in Kings and Ezekiel. First Kings 18, Ezekiel 20 are very long, both of them. Thutmose the First now, from our C-Cubed article, Crucible of Credible Creed, Chapter 4, Paragraph 9. Thutmose the First, little children. What we know from the ancient Egyptian studies, which are limited, right? I mean, they're very fragmentary, what we know from fragments and things like that. Thutmose the First was married to Queen Amos, who was called the Great Royal Wife. Now, we obviously have some inscriptions that tell us this, and that means the main wife of Pharaoh. Amenmose was the eldest son of Thutmose the First, and thus the one designated as the heir to Thutmose, and he was depicted on a hunting expedition on a stela from year 4 of Thutmose the First. Amenmose also became the first prince ever to be given the esteemed military title, Great Overseer of Soldiers. His father was a military man, before becoming pharaoh, Thutmose I was a military man. And Amenmose also took the active military role of his father. That's what we know about that son, but we know more, we're going to talk about later in the next paragraph, I believe. But yeah, right. Regarding the firstborn son, in the book of Exodus, in the Bible, we know the firstborn son of Pharaoh died. And that's what happened to Amenmose. So there's really, we're going to look at that tomorrow. But really, that's a great indication that we have, a real indication that we have, again, that is consistent with Thutmose the First being the Pharaoh of the Exodus without exactly proving it, which we can, you know, do only with great difficulty, proving something that old to be the case. But Ezekiel is coming. Sorry, I meant to say Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Little children, our proverb for today is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7. For because of abundance of occupation, there are dreams, and there are vanities and words in abundance. But fear the true God himself. The interesting, there's something that, I don't know why this reminds me of it, but I want to talk about the inherited predisposition towards certain diseases. It's not ever, you don't inherit disease from your parents, you inherit the predisposition to get those diseases, but none of these predispositions are irrevocable. It's because the person who got sick didn't get the right nutrients. That's why they got sick. It wasn't because they inherited the disease. And the way that we're learning so many things now, but one example is vitamin K2 is known to reverse heart disease. It's known to reverse heart disease, vitamin K2. And it's powerful and it's non-toxic as far as we know. There's no toxicity associated with that vitamin, even though every vitamin is toxic if you take enough of it. Every substance is toxic if you take enough of it, except not this vitamin K2. So it's a real godsend, because you can take as much of it, apparently, as you want and never get any ill effect from that vitamin, which you always take with vitamin D, by the way. And it came about, 1 Kings 18, after many days that Jehovah's own word came to Elijah in the third year. Remember? He had in verse 17, which we need to review, he'd said to Ahab, Elijah said, as Jehovah, the God of Israel, before whom I do stand, is living, there will occur during these years neither dew nor rain except at the order of my word. And in 1 Kings 18. And it came about, verse 1, after many days that Jehovah's own word came to Elijah in the third year, so it took a couple of years of drought, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, as I am determined, Jehovah's word was, to give rain upon the surface of the ground. Accordingly, Elijah went to show himself to Ahab while the famine was severe in Samaria. Samaria was the new capital city that Ahab's father had established in Israel. Meantime, Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now, Obadiah himself had proved to be one greatly fearing Jehovah. Hence, it came about that when Jezebel cut off Jehovah's prophets, this is a previous event that evidently we find out is previous as we read. Obadiah proceeded to take 100 prophets and keep them hid by 50s in a cave, and he supplied them bread and water. Although it sounds like it happened during the famine because he had to keep them supplied bread and water. And Ahab went on to say to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the torrent valleys. Perhaps we may find green grass, that we may preserve the horses and mules alive and may not have any more of the beasts cut off or killed. In other words, dying of famine and thirst. So we see that this evidently happened during the famine. So they divided between themselves the land through which to pass. Ahab himself went alone by one way, and Obadiah himself went alone by another way. As Obadiah continued on the way, there was Elijah to meet him. At once he recognized him and fell upon his face and said, is this you, my lord Elijah? At this he said to him, it is I. Go say to your lord, here is Elijah. But he said, what sin have I committed that you should be putting your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? As Jehovah your God is living, there is not a nation or a kingdom where my Lord is not sent to look for you. After they had said he is not here, he made the kingdom and the nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, go say to your Lord, here is Elijah. And it is bound to occur that when I myself go from you, then the spirit of Jehovah itself will carry you away to where I shall not know, and I shall have come to tell Ahab, and he will not find you, and he will be bound to kill me, as your servant himself has feared Jehovah from his youth. Has not my Lord been told what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of Jehovah, how I kept some of the prophets of Jehovah hid, 100 men by 50s in a cave, and kept supplying them bread and water? And now you are saying, go say to your Lord, here is Elijah, and he will be bound to kill me. However, Elijah said, as Jehovah of armies, before whom I do stand, is living, today I shall show myself to him. Accordingly, Obadiah went off to meet Ahab and told him, and so Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came about that as soon as Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab immediately said to him, is this you, the bringer of ostracism upon Israel? To this he said, I have not brought ostracism upon Israel, but you and the house of your father have, because you men have left the commandments of Jehovah, and you went following the Baals. And now send, collect together all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and also the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the sacred pole, who are eating at the table of Jezebel. And Ahab proceeded to send among all the sons of Israel and collect the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Then Elijah approached all the people and said, how long will you be limping upon two different opinions? If Jehovah is the true God, go following him, but if Baal is, go following him. And the people did not say a word in answer to him. And Elijah went on to say to the people, I myself have been left as a prophet of Jehovah, I alone, while the prophets of Baal are 450 men. Now let them give us two young bulls, and let them choose for themselves one young bull, and cut it in pieces and put it upon the wood, but they should not put fire to it, and I myself shall dress the other young bull, and I must place it upon the wood, but I shall not put fire to it. And you must call upon the name of your God, and I for my part shall call upon the name of Jehovah, and it must occur that the true God that answers by fire is the true God. To this, all the people answered and said, "The thing is good." Elijah now said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one young bull and dress it first, because you are the majority, and call upon the name of your God, but you must not put fire to it." Accordingly, they took the young bull that he gave them. Then they dressed it, and they kept calling upon the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and there was no one answering. And they kept limping around the altar that they had made. And it came about at noon that Elijah began to mock them and say, "Call at the top of your voice, for he is a god. For he must be concerned with a matter, and he has excrement, and has to go to the privy. Or maybe he is asleep and ought to wake up." And they began calling at the top of their voice and cutting themselves according to their custom with daggers and with lances until they caused blood to flow out upon them. And it came about that as soon as noon was past and they continued behaving as prophets until the going up of the grain offering, there was no voice and there was no one answering and there was no paying of attention. At length Elijah said to all the people, "Approach me." So all the people approached him. Then he proceeded to mend the altar of Jehovah that was torn down. So Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom Jehovah's word had come, saying, "Israel is what your name will become." Of course, Israel was Jacob who had 12 sons. And he went on to build the stones into an altar in the name of Jehovah and to make a trench of about the area sowed with 2 seah measures of seed all around the altar. After that, he put the pieces of wood in order and cut the young bull in pieces and placed it upon the pieces of wood. He now said, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it upon the burnt offering and upon the pieces of wood." Then he said, "Do it again." So they did it again. But he said, "Do it a third time." So they did it a third time. Thus, the water went all around the altar and the trench. Also, he filled with water. And it came about at the time that the grain offering goes up that Elijah the prophet began to approach and say, "O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and it is by your word that I have done all these things. Answer me, O Jehovah, answer me, that this people may know that you, Jehovah, are the true God, and you yourself have turned their heart back." At that, the fire of Jehovah came falling and went eating up the burnt offering, and the pieces of wood and the stones and the dust and the water that was in the trench it licked up. When all the people saw it, they immediately fell upon their faces and said, "Jehovah is the true God. Jehovah is the true God." Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let a single one of them escape." At once they seized them, and Elijah then brought them down to the torrent valley of Kishon and slaughtered them there. Elisha now said to Ahab, "Go up, eat, drink, for there is the sound of the turmoil of a downpour." And Ahab proceeded to go up to eat and drink. As for Elijah, he went up to the top of Carmel and began crouching to the earth and keeping his face put between his knees. Then he said to his attendant, "Go up, please. Look in the direction of the sea." So he went up and looked, and then said, "There's nothing at all." Evidently referring to the Mediterranean Sea. And he went on to say, "Go back for 7 times." And it came about at the 7th time that he got to say, "Look, there is a small cloud like a man's palm ascending out of the sea." He now said, "Go up, say to Ahab, hitch up and go down that the downpour may not detain you." And it came about in the meantime that the heavens themselves darkened up with clouds and wind, and a great downpour began to occur. And Ahab kept riding and made his way to Jezreel, and the very hand of Jehovah proved to be upon Elijah, so that he girded up his hips and went running ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Remarkable account from 1 Kings 18. Is it not, little children? And then we have Ezekiel chapter 20, Now it came about in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that men from the elderly ones of Israel came in to inquire of Jehovah, and they proceeded to sit down before me. Ezekiel writes, this is the seventh year of the exile, according to the first chapter of Ezekiel, where he mentions the fifth year of the exile. Now it's the seventh year of the exile, so 2 years later, since chapter 1, then the word of Jehovah occurred to me, saying, Son of man, speak with the elderly men of Israel, and you must say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Is it in order to inquire of me that you men are coming in? As I am alive, I will not be inquired of by you, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. Will you judge them? Will you judge them, O Son of man? Cause them to know the detestable things of their forefathers. And you must say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. In the day of my choosing Israel, I also proceeded to lift up my hand in an oath to the seed of the house of Jacob, and to make myself known to them in the land of Egypt. Yes, I proceeded to lift up my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am Jehovah your God. In that day I lifted up my hand in an oath to bring to them, to bring them forth from the land of Egypt to a land that I had spied out for them, one flowing with milk and honey. It was the decoration of all the lands. And I went on to say to them, throw away each one of you the disgusting things of his eyes, and with the dungy idols of Egypt, do not defile yourselves. I am Jehovah your God. And they began to rebel against me, and they did not consent to listen to me. The disgusting things of their eyes they did not individually throw away, and the dungy idols of Egypt they did not leave, so that I promised to pour out my rage upon them, in order to bring my anger to its finish upon them in the midst of the land of Egypt. And I went acting for the sake of my own name, that it might not be profaned before the eyes of the nations in among whom they were. Because I had made myself known to them before their eyes on bringing them forth from the land of Egypt. So I brought them forth from the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I proceeded to give them my statutes and my judicial decisions I made known to them, in order that the man who keeps doing them might also keep living by them. And my Sabbaths I also gave to them to become a sign between me and them, in order for them to know that I am Jehovah who is sanctifying them. But they, the house of Israel, rebelled against me in the wilderness. In my statutes they did not walk, and my judicial decisions they rejected, which should the man keep doing, he will also keep living by them. And my Sabbaths they profaned very much, so that I promised to pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness in order to exterminate them. But I acted for the sake of my own name, that it might not be profaned before the eyes of the nations, before whose eyes I had brought them forth. And I myself also lifted up my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, not to bring them into the land that I had given, one flowing with milk and honey. It is the decoration of all the lands, for the reason that they rejected my own judicial decisions, and as regards my statutes, they did not walk in them. And my Sabbaths they profaned, because it was after their dungy idols that their heart was going. And my eye began to feel sorry for them, to keep me from bringing them to ruin, and I did not make an extermination of them in the wilderness. And I proceeded to say to their sons in the wilderness, in the regulations of your forefathers do not you walk, and their judgments do not you keep, and with their dungy idols do not you defile yourselves. I am Jehovah your God. Walk in my own statutes, and keep my own judicial decisions, and do them, and sanctify my own Sabbaths. And they must serve as a sign between me and you, for you to know that I am Jehovah your God. And the sons began to rebel against me. In my statutes they did not walk, and my judicial decisions they did not keep by doing them, which, should the man keep doing, he will also keep living by them. My Sabbaths they profaned, so I promised to pour out my rage upon them, in order to bring my anger to its finish upon them in the wilderness. And I drew back my hand and went acting for the sake of my own name, that it should not be profaned before the eyes of the nations, before whose eyes I had brought them out. Also, I myself lifted up my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness to scatter them among the nations and to disperse them among the lands, for the reason that they did not carry out my own judicial decisions, and they rejected my own statutes, and they profaned my own Sabbaths. And it was after the dungy idols of their forefathers that their eyes proved to be. And I myself also let them have regulations that were not good, and judicial decisions by which they could not keep living. And I would let them become defiled by their gifts when they made every child opening the womb pass through the fire. That's the firstborn. In order that I might make them desolate, in order that they might know that I am Jehovah. So this is evidently what they did. They were sacrificing only the firstborn child. Not all their children were being sacrificed, slaughtered, were burned alive in the fire, just the firstborn. And that was the grievous sin that they were committing. Therefore, speak to the house of Israel, O son of man, and you must say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Yet in this respect, your forefathers spoke abusively of me, and their acting against me was unfaithfulness. And I proceeded to bring them into the land that I had lifted up my hand in an oath to give them. When they got to see every exalted hill and every branchy tree, then they began sacrificing there their sacrifices and giving there their offensive offering and presenting there their restful odors and pouring out there their drink offerings. So I said to them, what does the high place mean to which you are coming, that its name should be called a high place down to this day? Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. In the way of your forefathers, are you people defiling yourselves? And after their disgusting things, are you going in immoral intercourse? And in lifting up your gifts by making your sons pass through the fire, are you defiling yourselves for all your dummy idols down till today? At the same time, shall I myself be inquired of by you people, O house of Israel? As I am alive, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah, I will not be inquired of by you, and that which is coming up into your spirit will itself positively not happen, in that you are saying, let us become like the nations, like the families of the lands, in ministering to wood and stone. As I am alive, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah, it will be with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with outpoured rage that I will rule as king over you people. And I will bring you forth from the peoples, and I will collect you together out of the lands to which you have been scattered with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with outpoured rage. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples and put myself on judgment with you there, face to face, just as I put myself on judgment with your forefathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt. So I shall put myself on judgment with you, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah, and I will make you pass under the rod and bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will clean out from you the revolters and the transgressors against me, for out of the land of their alien residence I shall bring them forth, but onto the soil of Israel they will not come, and you people will have to know that I am Jehovah. And you, O house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said, go serve each one of you his own dungy idols, and afterward, if you are not listening to me, then my holy name you will no more profane by your gifts and by your dungy idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah. There is where they, the whole house of Israel in its entirety, will serve me in the land. There I shall take pleasure in them, and there I shall require your contributions and the first fruits of your presentations in all your holy things. Because of the restful odor, I shall take pleasure in you. When I bring you forth from the peoples, and I actually collect you together from the lands to which you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the eyes of the nations, and you people will have to know that I am Jehovah when I bring you onto the soil of Israel, into the land that I lifted up my hand in an oath to give to your forefathers. And you will certainly remember there your ways and all your dealings by which you defiled yourselves, and you will actually feel a loathing at your own faces because of all your bad things that you did. And you will have to know that I am Jehovah when I take action with you for the sake of my name, not according to your bad ways or according to your corrupted dealings, O house of Israel, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah. And the word of Jehovah continued to occur to me, saying, son of man, set your face in the direction of the southern quarter, and drip words to the south, and prophesy to the forest of the field of the south. And you must say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of Jehovah. This is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Here I am setting a fire ablaze against you, and it must devour in you every still moist tree and every dry tree. The kindling flame will not be extinguished, and by it all faces must be scorched from the south to the north. And all those of flesh must see that I myself, Jehovah, have set it afire, so that it will not be extinguished. And I proceeded to say, alas, O Sovereign Lord Jehovah, they are saying respecting me, is he not composing proverbial sayings? And that concludes Ezekiel chapter 20. We've got a lot of time left. We can do Revelation. I spoke out of turn when I said we wouldn't be doing Revelation today. I thought we couldn't do it. I just thought we couldn't do it. Revelation 12. I thought we were going to do Revelation 12 and 13 tomorrow. But I haven't prepared this. And a great sign was seen in heaven, John writes. A woman arrayed with the sun and the moon was beneath her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars, and she was pregnant. And she cries out in her pains and in her agony to give birth. And another sign was seen in heaven, and look, a great fiery-colored dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon its head 7 diadems, and its tail drags a third of the stars of heaven, and it hurled them down to the earth. And the dragon kept standing before the woman who was about to give birth, that when she did give birth, it might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male, who is to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod. And her child was caught away to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon. And the dragon and its angels battled, but it did not prevail, neither was a place found for them any longer in heaven. So down the great dragon was hurled, the original serpent, the one called Devil and Satan, who was misleading the entire inhabited earth. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come to pass the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brothers has been hurled down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their witnessing, and they did not love their souls even in the face of death. On this account, be glad, you heavens, and you who reside in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great anger, knowing he has a short period of time. Now when the dragon saw that it was hurled down to the earth, it persecuted the woman that gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given the woman, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. There is where she is fed for a time and times and half a time, away from the face of the serpent. And the serpent disgorged water like a river from its mouth after the woman, to cause her to be drowned by the river. But the earth came to the woman's help, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon disgorged from its mouth. And the dragon grew wrathful at the woman and went off to wage war with the remaining ones of her seed, who observe the commandments of God and have the work of bearing witness to Jesus. That's the end of Revelation chapter 12. We still have 4 minutes. Remarkably. But this is important that we note here that the 1,260 days is mentioned here again. The same as the period of time that the witnesses were going to be witnessing for, which is basically 3.5 years. 3.5 years of 360 days each. The two witnesses were going to prophesy, and I don't even remember if that's there. Yeah, that was it. Verse 3 of chapter 11. They were to prophesy that for 1,260 days dressed in sackcloth. That was yesterday's study. She gave birth to a son, right? And this woman in heaven, and the dragon wanted to devour the child that the woman was giving birth to. But she was to be fed for this period of 3.5 years. And then when we see down here, Well, then there was a war in heaven. Verse 7, Michael and his angels defeated the dragon and his angels and hurled them down to the earth. And it says, that the brothers of Christ conquered the devil, conquered the dragon because of the blood of the Lamb. And this is one of the final woes, right? Is it not? What is it still one of the final, or is the final woe, has it already come to pass? I think I'm starting to think that the second woe is past, right? The third woe is coming. The third woe is coming quickly. Revelation 11:14. So this is part of the third woe here, of the final three woes that we're reading about here. Because the devil has great anger in verse 12 of Revelation 12. So it's very woeful. This period of time where the devil is on the earth having great anger. But the woman is to be fed for a time and times and half a time, which is three times again. A time plus two times plus half a time is three and a half times, which is 3.5 years again, or 1,260 days of 360 days each year being that long. In the prophetic year, or in a year of 12 months of 30 days each, a lunar year, in other words. The war broke out in heaven. Michael battled with the dragon. This is one of the most famous or important chapters in the book of Revelation, apparently, where the devil's hurled down from heaven. He's called the original serpent and the great dragon. There's where we learn that he's the original serpent. He's the snake from the Garden of Eden. He's the original serpent. The one who misled Eve in the garden. That's how we know that from this scripture, Revelation 12 and 9. So, very important or interesting chapter here, little children, from Revelation, isn't it? But she's to be fed for this period of time, 3.5 years. And when we see in verse 6, she's to be fed for 1,260 days. That's where we see from verse 6 compared to verse 14, she's to be fed time and times and half a time, which is 1,260 days, thus, therefore, seven times, which is twice 3.5, would be twice 1,260, which is 2,520 days, or years in the prophetic sense. So 2,520 years is the times of the Gentiles, because that's referred to as seven times. That's all for today. We just got done now. January 12th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 2023 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. It's my privilege to be with you. I love you very much. This is Gully, my wind-up chronograph, and also Cassie on my behalf saying bye for now.